The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for tuning in again to God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Sister Margaret Michael is joining us. She is of the Daughters of St. Paul, very familiar to those of us here in Cleveland, as the bookstore was downtown for many, many years, not too far off Public Square. Very good location. I think, Sister, my understanding is I think you were here for a while, weren't you?
Yes, Paul, that's right. I was stationed at our convent and book center in Cleveland, 1998 until I believe it was around 2002. And I did have a couple of summers there as well. I think it was 1996 and 97. So I really love being in Cleveland. It was one of my favorite assignments as a Daughter of St. Paul.
You weren't too far from the ball field, and the Indians were red hot back then.
They were, actually. And every so often, friends would give us tickets.
Wow, very nice.
It was a joy to be down there. And I confess, I'm a Yankees fan, but I went to many Indians games, and I cheered them on. So I really became an Indian fan.
Sure. Well, it's hard not to be when they're playing that well, as they were back then.
Right.
You say a Yankees fan. You were born in Brooklyn.
Actually, I'm from Staten Island, okay. New York. I was born in New Jersey, right over the bridge. Mm-hmm. And my family is from Staten Island, and that's where I was raised.
Okay. But tell me about growing up.
Well, I'm the youngest of five children. Growing up in Staten Island, people immediately think that it's city life, although Staten Island is really, sometimes they call it the forgotten borough. We have five boroughs in New York. Mm-hmm. And so Staten Island was a bit more rural during the 70s when I was growing up, 70s and 80s. And we raised chickens, and I had show rabbits and all that. Now it's much more populated there, but I went to Catholic elementary school. I went to Catholic high school. My family was active in the parish, and it was a very Catholic neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I think that also influenced me. And I was taught by sisters, religious sisters, in my my elementary school and my high school. So I enjoyed growing up in Staten Island. Every so often we go into Manhattan, but we also spent a lot of time in New Jersey, because my mom's from there, was from there as well. Mm-hmm. And
so you had a good example in your parents. Daily prayer, or daily or weekly mass, what was your routine in your family?
Yes, we did pray regularly. Grace before meals, I mean, even such a small gesture of grace before meals is so important. My mom really was devoted to the Blessed Mother. She prayed the rosary. You know, I would pray it with her sometimes. At that time, it was not a favorite devotion, but I would pray it with her, and we would go to church on Sunday. And then sometimes during the summer, we would go to a weekday mass. And my dad, may both of them rest in peace. My dad, he was mainly, a churchgoer for Sundays. But one of the things I really learned from my dad, he loved nature and he loved animals, and he's the one that raised the chickens. He instilled in me this wonder for God's creation and noticing, the small things in the garden and in the yard and holding a baby chick. And I had wonder for God's creation. So it's interesting that you spoke about St. Francis earlier when you were telling me about him. I had a love for St. Francis, and my dad did too. And That was one of my ways of glorifying God and appreciating God, was through the gift of the animals and the creation. And that kind of complemented the more formal training and, you know, the catechesis,
sure,
the faith life that my mom inspired in me as well.
After high school, what happened as far as your calling? Did you immediately enter?
Well, I have to tell you that I actually did my senior year of high school with the Daughters of St. Paul.
Oh.
So I joined community when I was 17 years old. And that's not a possibility today, but it was 30-somewhat years ago. And we had a high school taught by the sisters for young women that were looking into religious life. So I started my discernment a little early. I finished my junior year, and then I did my senior year in Boston. I could tell you a little bit about, you know, what led to that.
I'd love it.
And okay, great. Well, I had thought about being a sister from when I was young. I remember one of the sisters in my elementary school, her name was Sister Mary Hennessy, a delightful Irish sister that was our principal and who was very friendly and very kind. I had a few other sisters in my elementary school, but Sister Mary Hennessy really touched my heart. And after she retired, she and I used to write back and forth for a few years, and I was still in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would read the mission magazines that my mom would get in the mail. And as I was reading them, I remember, you know, daydreaming from time to time about being a missionary in Africa, in Thailand. You know, I just had these ideas. I was also, again, I was inspired by St. Francis, and I read a book about him, about Francis and Claire, when I was in fourth or fifth grade. And I was very impressed by Francis giving up everything for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And to serve others. So there were several things coming together at that time. So I had these desires about possibly becoming a missionary. And when I was a child, I somehow understood that Jesus loved me. He loved me very much. And I wanted other people to know this.
Mm-hmm.
So my very simple understanding of being a religious sister would be somebody who follows Jesus, like St. Francis or St. Paul,
right,
and somebody who tells other people about Jesus. So it was a very simple understanding of religious life, but it grew as time went on. And then when I was in high school, I have a few specific memories of moments that I was struck by the needs of other people. Once I was driving through New York City with my mom. Actually, it was Brooklyn on the way. We were in Brooklyn on the way to Manhattan. And I was looking out the window, and we just happened to go through a poor neighborhood on a very hot day. And something struck me. And another time when I was watching the television, watching the news, and seeing poverty and violence, war happening in other parts of the country, in the world, something inside of me was again awakened to want to do something for other people. So these were rather gradual movements, but they all kind of contributed to God expanding my heart and placing in me that desire to do something for others and possibly to do it as a sister.
Not exactly like being lightning bolted off of a horse, but in a way, illuminating, I suppose. Sister, stay right there. We're going to be back on God Calling right after these messages. Sister Margaret Michael is joining us. She is the vocation director for the Daughters of St. Paul, a group that really goes out and aggressively spreads the word. And Sister, you said a couple of moments kind of struck you as a younger girl, younger woman. You think there are times when God presents these things in order to effect a change in a person or to alert somebody to something deep within?
I do. And some of these moments can happen very quietly in our minds and hearts. Other times, they're happening outside of us, like there's something happening in the world or in our family or in our workplace or school, and God calls us through them. Sometimes he's calling us to change, conversion, to a deeper commitment, to an insight, or sometimes he's calling us, like for myself, to a vocation, to follow him in the particular path of life. And as I mentioned earlier, it wasn't just one thing. It was a combination of things that kind of pointed me in this direction of following Jesus as a religious sister, dedicating my life to the Lord, but also dedicating my life to service of his people.
I love the new, I don't know if it's how new it is, but the logo of the hashtag on the move, the mm-hmm. Daughters of St. Paul. And that certainly describes your order. St. Paul traveled the ends of the earth to proclaim the gospel yes. and radically follow God's call to go forth. But now with fewer sisters, but more social media, more ways to reach people, you can reach people where they are from just fewer locations, let's say.
Yes, and that's it's a beautiful element of the world of media that we live in. I can't remember if it was one of our Holy Fathers who at one point said, you know, that we can, especially like through radio, that we can give wings to the gospel. Actually, it may have been our own Mother Tekla. I always forget who the quote is from, but giving wings to the gospel through different forms of media. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I always had this desire to be a missionary sister. My mom used to say, oh, well, can you be a missionary in the United States? And, you know, she would say it. She didn't really want me to leave the country, you know. Anyway, I joined this order of sisters who are missionaries. We are throughout the world. We're in 52 countries. And whether we're assigned overseas or not, we still very much see ourselves as missionaries, even if we're in our home country. In using the media, we're able to bring Jesus, his message of hope and love, to people that we may not be able to reach by foot, you know, or mm-hmm. by having them come into one of our book centers, but we're able to reach them through digital media, through the radio, through music, through podcasting. So there's all these different ways now to really give wings to the gospel.
You may be one of the most diverse groups as far as the talents that you were given, because writers, artists, speakers, teachers, musicians, editors, administrators, audio and video producers, and probably some I'm missing. One that's very popular here in downtown Cleveland is the Christmas choir that the Daughters put on at the cathedral. Yes. I bet you've been to it.
Actually, I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I only sang in our Christmas concert many, many years ago.
Okay.
And before it was on the road, it was just in Boston and New York, but before it went on the road. But I do know all the sisters that sing in the choir. And the rest of us that are not actually in the choir traveling, we pray for all of the people that will attend, view, and listen to our concerts. Music is an incredible way to both bring the Word of God deep into the recesses of people's minds and hearts, and it's also an incredible way, beautiful way, to lift and invite people to raise their hearts to God in prayer and inspiration and thought. So music is very powerful. It's a beautiful gift from God.
Having been there a few times, not everybody there is Catholic, but it's just right? emotional stirring of the heart, I think, people of yes. all kinds of backgrounds enjoy.
Yes, yes, and that is one of the beautiful benefits of using music for the sake of the gospel.
There are about 120 sisters, 13 locations in Toronto, Canada, as well as around the United States. Are the numbers beginning to grow?
Can I put it in the context also, we are worldwide.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So
yes.
Worldwide, we're even more. I might be 2,300 worldwide.
Right.
When you ask about the growth, you know, I'll answer it in two ways. One, I think we tend to sustain a steady level, I mm-hmm. guess, or a steady number. We have a number of sisters who are elderly, and they are in our mother house in Boston. So we have like an assisted living and infirmary in Boston. Mm-hmm. And so we have a number of sisters there, and God calls a few home every year, mm-hmm. and then we have a few enter. So it's not like vocation-wise in the States we're having a big surge, but we have a small number, God willing, and we've been blessed that almost every year we have women entering. And so I would say we have a steady number, and that's fine. Because, when the Lord spoke to the disciples, he said, do not be afraid, little flock, I'm with you. So if here in the States we're a particular number, and God, but God's working with us. So
some other folks working with you. You have lay cooperators. You've enlisted other folks. What does that entail?
The Pauline cooperators are lay men and women from many, many different walks of life who would like, they want to participate in the prayer and mission of the Pauline family.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there are Pauline cooperators right there in Cleveland. From my years there, I remember meeting with them, a fine group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, because of media, social media and all, we are still able to meet with some of those cooperators from Cleveland for monthly meetings and prayer together and things like that. So the cooperators do receive some formation in our spirituality and in our mission and in St. Paul. They learn about our particular devotion to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, our devotion to Mary as Queen of Apostles, who's giving Jesus to the world. And the cooperators come together usually, I think it's once a year, from all over the country. They can have their retreat, they have conventions, conferences, but they meet regularly at this point in time, either in their local areas or they can meet over the internet for the fellowship and formation. And our founder, Blessed James Alberione, who founded our order in 1915, he had the lay people in the front of his mind. He felt, even initially, he thought that he was going to gather men and women who work in media, and they would become this strong force for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. And as the Lord's inspiration became clear to him, he realized that he was to form a congregation of men, the Society of St. Paul, who would be priests and brothers for this mission, and a congregation of women, the Daughters of St. Paul, for this mission. But he never let go sight of the lay people partaking in our mission as well.
Sister, we're going to take a break right now. Stay with us, and we hope everybody listening will stay with us as we learn more about the Daughters of St. Paul, as well as we'll double back a little bit to your time in formation too, Sister. So everyone stay right where you are. We'll be back. Welcome back. Sister Margaret Michael is joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host, each and every week at this time. Thanks for being here today, and we hope you will be each and every week joining us at this time. Sister, let's double back a little bit to your formation. Once you entered the convent, it just become stronger and stronger and stronger? Are there moments when you wonder, or does it just grow through grace?
I think it's a little bit of both, because, okay, now I entered the convent in 1987, so I've been in for some time. I've already celebrated my 25th jubilee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we enter the convent, we usually have about 2 years of postulancy. That's that initial formation. It's really a time of moving from life in the world to life in the convent and to deepen one's discernment. Oh, there's so much learning that goes on. And actually, right now, my current role is I'm the formation director for the postulants here in St. Louis, Missouri. So I'm working with young women who have just started formation with the Daughters of St. Paul. It's a beautiful time of learning, living in community, you know, seeing is this what the life is, what the life is, and is this the life for me? And especially it's a time to grow in one's relationship with the Lord. After 2 years of postulancy, we have 2 years as a novice, and that's up in Boston. And then we have 5 years of temporary vows. Well, we make vows after 2 years in novitiate, mm-hmm. temporary vows.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have temporary vows for 5 years before we make our perpetual vows. It sounds like a lot, but it really goes fast, and it's a very important time. So during that time for me, I found through my different experiences of community life and working in the mission, including my time in Cleveland, two of those summers, I was still a junior professed. Whatever assignment I had working with God's people in our mission, that for me was a time that solidified, you know, and deepened my love of the mission, my sense of calling. You know, God awakened so many things inside of me through prayer, through study, through the experience of the mission, and seeing how the mission touched people's lives. And I do have to tell you that back in the 90s, I was, I think it was the same radio station, but I was on Catholic radio a couple of times. And that was meaningful for me to see how the radio was being used to reach people all over the diocese and beyond. Mm-hmm. So formation just helps it grow. You know, some of my classmates may have discerned out, and that's appropriate. But then others of us in the group, you know, discerned, this is what God wants. Let's move forward. Mm-hmm. So it's been a beautiful experience. And yes, it deepened, but it takes time. It takes time because it is a lifetime commitment that we're looking at.
Sure. Now, you mentioned the lay people, lay cooperators, or for that matter, the daughters. How would somebody find out more information? Let's say about the people here in Cleveland. How would they find out where the meeting is, or can they do that through the website?
Sure. The best thing to do would be to visit daughtersofstpaul.com or also daughtersofstpaul.org. Either works. And on our website, you can learn more about the Pauline Cooperators. We have a whole section on the Pauline Cooperators. And Sister Jackie works with our Pauline Cooperators, and you can get in touch with her through the website. And she'll send them information and put them in touch like with their region and what's mm-hmm. happening in their region. Mm-hmm. Another way to easily find us online is by just on any of your social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You could also put in hashtag Media Nuns. That's our nickname, working with the media. But you can easily find us there. But just through our website, mm-hmm. you can find more about the Pauline Cooperators.
Well, there's no doubt you guys are on the front lines, as St. Paul was, in spreading the word. It's got to be rewarding work.
Well, it is. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of prayer that goes into it. If we have another minute, I'll just say here, as I mentioned earlier, that anyone that we reach through our music, through our books, through our podcast, we pray for these people every single day. We have almost 3 hours of daily prayer. And in this time of prayer, we pray for anyone that we come in touch with through the media, their needs. And we also do pray that the media might be used for good. We pray for the conversion of media that might be misleading or leading people away from the truth of Jesus. So there's a lot of prayer that goes into the mission. So we would appreciate the prayers of your listeners. Mm-hmm. If they can join us in praying for the Daughters of St. Paul, vocations to the Daughters of St. Paul, our evangelization projects, and all the people that we are reaching out to through the media, that they may come to know really the love and the hope that there is to find in God.
Listeners, there's your homework. Start praying. Sister, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate
you
sharing it. Enjoy your night.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
All right, and I'll be praying for you, and I'll be praying for all of Cleveland.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, sister. This is God Calling. Join us next week at the same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.